Why does a person do tshuva? What's the motivation for tshuva? That's the next piece in Rav Nissim's article. A shortish piece, we'll just talk about it very briefly. How does a person come to tshuva? And of course, different times in our life, different motivations are all important because they all round out a more complete tshuva. Tshuva is not one voice, it's not one thought, it's not one strategy. It's many different strategies. Sometimes they seem contradictory, but they're really complementary because the human being is a complex being, and you feel different things at different stages. So Rabbeinu Yonah, in a very famous sefer called Shaarei Tshuva, where we're spending this month learning Rav Lichtenstein and his ideas of tshuva, but the classic sefer on tshuva is Rabbeinu Yonah, Shaarei Tshuva. It's part of a larger sefer called Shaarei Tzedek, which he wrote, but we really only have the Shaarei Tshuva part. He discusses two motivations, and Rav Aaron added a third, which obviously is latent in Chazal. One motivation is you read Pesukim, Pesukim in the Torah that exhort us to tshuva, that so much of Slichos doesn't even talk about human failure. So much of Slichos talks about the Jewish people and how sad our history has been over the last 2,000 years and how we've suffered and how people have destroyed our Beis HaMikdash. So you can either arrive at tshuva from a national standpoint because you realize you are suffering, you want to rebuild history and repair history, or it could be from a moral standpoint. You read some of what Yeshaya speaks about, moral integrity and moral life, and you realize your life isn't necessarily reflective of those standards. So one trigger for tshuva is that moral trigger of reading, hearing people speak about tshuva, seeing people, recognizing the importance. There's an external stimulus. There's a second external stimulus, which chas v'shalom, if you feel distress. Sometimes you can feel distress. Baruch Hashem, you're not at the stage where I hope there's too much distress in your life. But as you grow older, people suffer tragedies, people suffer loss, people suffer trauma. And even if it doesn't affect you, people in life suffer those traumas. And you realize that, again, we don't really live in a world of cause and effect that you can trace. We don't live in Nineveh, where Yonah is coming and saying, you're going to die because of these particular flaws or these particular deficiencies. But a person has to live a life in which there's some feedback. If you suffer something in life, if something doesn't go your way, if there's a frustration, then you can't say this is the reason, but it's a signal from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal say, Yamashmesh b'masav, Yavashmesh b'masav. You should inspect yourself, you should look carefully. So this is something which applies year-round, but certainly during Rosh Chodesh, Elul, Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, we look a little bit deeper into our lives, and we feel what of our lives is a product of our own deficiency, even if it's not a punishment from Hashem, it's just something we've unfortunately failed at, and we aren't able to reach the levels we're looking for. But of course, Rav Lichtenstein said, more often than not, the trigger for tshuva is not extrinsic, whether reading a pasuk in Yeshaya, or listening to a Musar Shmos, or thinking about how you've suffered. Very often it's based on hisbonos, internal thought, thinking about what life is, examining life, where you're heading in life, what you want your life to look like. And Rav Aaron quoted two different strategies for hisbonos. And this is a really great example for how Rav Aaron taught us to read Chazal, not simplistically, but to read Chazal carefully. So if you take a look, for example, the well-known Akavya ben Mahalalel. This is in Avos Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph. Say this at a Levaya. So what does it say? What should you look at? Dame ayin basa, v'lana taholech, v'fnei miyatadin v'cheshbon. Dame ayin basa, miti pasrucha. You come from some disgusting seed, right? Human seed, human semen, it decomposes. And where you're headed to, makam rima v'toleh, you're heading to dust and worms. Your body will decompose at some point. So that's a reductive statement about the emptiness of human experience. It's essentially a paraphrase of Koheles. You can wrap Koheles into that statement. Human achievement is meaningless. Human life is transient. Human ego is laughable. Yet if you look in Perkei Avos, in Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, Yudanasi sounds the same. But if you read it carefully, saying something very different. V'yudanasi omer, okay. Histakiel b'shlosha devarim ve'enata balidei avera. So what are the three things that V'yudanasi wants us to think about? Not about dust and earth, and not about tipas rucha, but dam malam malam imcha. What is on top of you? Ayin ro'ah, an eye that sees, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ozen shamas, and an ear that hears. V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. Now this could be conflated with Kaviyah ben Malala. Hashem sees everything. Hashem hears everything. Every time you fail, every time you commit a mistake or a crime, Hashem is recording. And what's the point of it? Rav Aaron chose to read this a little bit differently. That human beings are so majestic. Human beings have so much power and potential that we justify Hashem caring about us. Hashem doesn't sit there in Shemayim and have a book about what the leaves are doing, about what the frogs are doing. Frogs are just material. But your actions, Hashem takes interest in. He's looking at your actions. He's listening to your speech. You can affect him and his shechin in this world. You can affect this world. And there's a sefer. There's no sefer of animals. There's no sefer of oceans. Hashem just maintains them. But there's a sefer of human behavior. The eye of Hashem is upon us. The ear of Hashem, because we have Bechira Chashis, because we have Tzelem Elokim, because we have talent, because we can... So it's not about katnas on them, but godless on them. How great your potential is, and then when it was wasted, that should be a charge for tshuva. Not that I'm heading nowhere in life, and I better perform tshuva, or else I'll become rimavatale even quicker, which is one strategy. But a different approach is, there's a real sefer about me. I better make sure I fill that sefer with opportunity. And how tragic it is when those opportunities have been wasted. There's a tefillah which I'm not sure if you've ever said, but if you haven't said it, you should start saying it this year. And if you've said it before, it's called Tefillah Zaka. Tefillah Zaka is a vidui before Kol Nidrei. You say, take about 10, 15 minutes to say it. That's essentially the theme of Tefillah Zaka. Kodesh Baruch Hu, you created all these body parts, and they're so incredible, and there's such potential, and you go through each body part, and you suffer, and you absorb how much you've wasted your eyes, how much you've wasted your tongue, how much, but not from a point of ineptitude or impotency, from a point of empowerment and opportunity, and then to make it even more tragic. Godless Adam doesn't avoid responsibility, it makes responsibility more acute. If you have little, you have no responsibility or mission. If you've been vested with much, with great power, comes great opportunity. Without that power, and without that opportunity, all that power was tragically wasted. So Ron spoke, it's a very brief piece, it's not as extensive. Most of this piece doesn't really speak of tshuva. Towards the end, he's got a stinging criticism of modern orthodoxy, which he always did. What do we have to be repent for? You can read it if you want. But he's talking about how we motivate ourselves for tshuva. And again, think about how you motivate yourself for tshuva. What's the trigger point? Reading a perek in Mesillas Yesharim, realizing that life is very tragic, realizing that life is very transient, realizing that you had so much potential and you can make a change in this world that you want to. How do you, sometimes if you don't just perform tshuva, but you think about what brings me to tshuva, that can influence or animate the process itself. When you think about the catalyst, the process itself changes. Okay, tomorrow, some Rosh Tzedek on Rosh Hashanah, Thursday, some Rosh Yom Nitzavim, and Friday we'll conclude with a little bit about Rav Aaron about Rosh Hashanah. I'll tell you some of the things Rav Aaron said, the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Have a good day, everyone. I'm going to go close. Have the title.
Thanks, Rosh.